today's readings are about being chosen, about being identified. The next question, of course, we might ask is, chosen by whom and why? So the first is about a servant who will be treated like a king. The reading from Isaiah is part of a poem, and there are four such poems in the middle section of the book of Isaiah. They are about the suffering servant. We heard the first section last week. We heard how the servant was gentle, was a prophet, but not one of the loud sorts of prophets. This week we hear that the original plan for the servant seems too small. Restoring the children of Israel was not enough. The Gentiles are to be enlightened too, that salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Now, does that phrase about the light to the Gentiles remind you of the Magnificat, Mary's song, which we sing at Evensong and will sing tonight? Because, of course, Isaiah was part of Mary's tradition, of Luke's tradition, and it was he, of course, who wrote Mary's song, the Magnificat, down. So, chosen by the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the one who was to be the servant, but he was a servant before whom kings would stand and princes would bow. The second reading is crammed with people being chosen or identified. John has already been identified as a truth teller, a prophet. John has identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. And if you remember back to your Old Testament, in Exodus, the Lamb was perfect, was sacrificed to ensure the future of God's people, the children of Israel. They were fleeing for their lives. And Jesus will die to ensure the future of his people, of all people. Jesus identifies this couple of John's people as seekers. They choose him as someone worth getting to know, worth understanding. And it's such an odd exchange, really, isn't it? What do you want? Says Jesus. Where are you staying? They answer. We think, have we turned over two pages at once? What's going on? But maybe it's a clue. Maybe it's that we all have to meet Jesus in our own lives as a real person, not a sort of vaguely idealised person that we can't quite relate to. Because they spend time with Jesus. They get to know Jesus. He becomes important to them. And they understand, they get, we might say, what he stands for. They start telling friends and family who and what they've discovered. He's the Messiah, they say. He's the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen. And we might notice that those words echo the description of the God of Jacob in the Isaiah reading, the Holy One of Israel. So through spending time with Jesus, they grasp that he is God. They drag Simon to meet him, and Jesus chooses Simon, identifying him in turn as Peter, the rock. Which, to be flippant for a moment, is quite an interesting nickname for the head of a successful and profitable fishing business, as the last thing in the world you probably want when you're fishing is rocks. But still, I digress. Well, you may think that's all good, well and good, but how on earth is it relevant to me? Well, it's relevant because I think it might change the way we see things if we let it. The servant Isaiah tells us of suffers, but princes bowed before the servant, a servant and a king. And that's radical. Now, we think we're radical these days, but we still have expectations of royalty, don't we? We still have an idea that royalty doesn't do that. When we think back perhaps to Zara Phillips' tongue stud or Meghan's ripped jeans, not that she is any longer royal in that same sense. But the Queen is, and we perhaps smile when we think of the Queen serving herself breakfast cereal from Tupperware, although other brands of plastic storage are available. So all of that doesn't seem very regal. And sort of that's the point, perhaps. It's not very regal. We can think of Jesus as a king, but not as regal. Because if you think of his life, the only time really he was within feet of a duly encrusted precious metals was as a little one in the stable with farmhands. And we would guess that he doesn't remember that, because the symbolism of those royal gifts was for us, it wasn't for him. So in today's reading, Jesus' people spend time with him and they see something of God, royal, priestly, prophetic, mysterious. And Jesus sees things in them which reflect that. Things that the people in today's reading can't see in themselves. But in time, they come to grow into them. But it takes time in Jesus' presence, and it takes intention. Jesus saw God in them. They saw God in him. And because of that, we can be sure that they saw evidence of God at work in everyone. Why ever would they have travelled with Jesus and spread the good news? The good news that God made us and loves us, and is the spark of life, the spark of eternity within each of us. So although these readings tell us of choosing and being chosen, they also help us to recognise God at work. They show us that God at work doesn't look as we might expect it to. There are no trappings of gold or jewels. They remind us that God is present in every person we know. The people sitting next to us in the pews, or over the way, or the people we queue with in the newsagents. And that may change us, because suddenly, each and every bit of the world is home. Now, if we glimpse that, we have to respond to it, because not responding is not an option. It is, of course, easier to see God's fingerprints in the lives of those who are dear to us than it is in seeing them in people we don't know or we don't like much. But we should remember those two men of John's. All they had to do was to get to know Jesus. And then they understood, they got it. And that's true for us too. Hang out with God and we get to know and love God. Spend time with each other with open hearts, and the same is true of that relationship too. And what might this community look like, we wonder, if we all did that intentionally every time we meet? Amen.